Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. Well, by the way, we're going to take our shoes off tonight and walk on some holy ground. I wish, and maybe we'll be more successful than I can anticipate, but I wish I could touch something in the heart of every Christian here. There are some things that are just holy. And there's some things that we ought to get excited about and hungry for that comes from the very throne of God himself. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Let your affections be on things above, not on the things of this earth. There's some holy things, some godly things, some divine things that we ought to get an appetite again for. Okay? Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Awesome statement in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight. Lord, I want to get something across, Lord. We're going to study your word. We're going to get knee deep, waist deep, neck deep into it tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd allow the Bible to be that fire that you intended it to be, to light our hearts and light our souls. And Lord, if it's not allowed to be the fire, then let it be a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. But God, our need, whatever it is, can be met by the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to open our heart. May the soil be prepared and the ground fertile, so that when the seed lands, it will take deep root and spring up and produce good fruit. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that that's not the case. You'd help us to rework the ground and re-prepare the ground for the receiving of your word. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we look at this very, very holy thing, this matter of God wisdom, I pray, Lord, that you'd put a hunger in the heart of every Christian to be wise. You'd help us to understand the importance of godly wisdom in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would not allow the devil to make fools of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to preach on that subject. Is the devil making a fool out of you? Is the devil making a fool out of you? Now, right now, you get whoever you're thinking about out of your mind. Because that question wasn't for them, it was for you. And for me, it's for me. And we ought to focus in on this subject. Is the devil making a fool out of you? Of you know, the devil's a deceiver. He can make out a fool out of you without you even realizing you're being made a fool out of. He can convince you of things and make you think that you thought of it. He can have you walking around saying, well, I just believe something, and you don't believe that. You were taught that by old Smutty Face. You were tricked into believing that. And he's a deceiver, young people. He's a deceiver, adults, you see. Now I want to make five statements in introduction. Let me just read these five statements and think about it, okay? By the way, these are irrefutable statements. These are solidly based on Scripture. Let me give them to you. Number one, as a Christian, God wants to make you wise. He wants you to become wise. Is there anybody that can stand up and disprove that from the Word of God? As a Christian, God wants you to be wise. By the way, according to His Word, it's the principal thing. It's the principal thing. God wants you as a Christian to be wise. That's God's goal. That's God's desire. For every Christian in this room to be indwelt and possessed and consumed with godly wisdom. Number two, as God's avowed enemy, Satan wants just the opposite. Satan wants to make a fool out of you. Satan wants to make a fool out of you. Now, I said number one, as a Christian, God wants to make you wise. According to his word, it is the principal thing. Number two, as God's avowed enemy, Satan wants just the opposite. Satan wants to make a fool out of you. Number three, God teaches us in his word how we can daily increase in wisdom. We can become wise. He doesn't just tell us to be wise. He teaches us how to be wise. Now, Satan, number four, Satan knows these things will work. That's in the Bible, and we'll talk about some of them tonight. So in order to keep you from wisdom, he will do all he can to cause you to neglect, ignore, or even despise the very things that would make you wise. Are you listening? Are you listening? See, God says, number three, God teaches us in his word how we can be wise, how we can daily increase in wisdom. Satan knows this. He knows it'll work. And so his job is to try to keep you from becoming wise. So he'll do all he can to cause you to neglect, ignore, or despise the very things that would make you wise. You see, number five, Satan cannot make a fool out of a Christian unless the Christian allows him to do it. See, you have a choice, folks, to make. You have a choice to let God work in your life and follow what God wants for your life and fulfill God's wishes and will for your life and become a wise Christian, or you can choose to allow the devil to make a fool out of you, but it is ultimately your choice. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. Greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. You can be victorious. You can be holy. You can be separated. You can be successful in your Christian life. And above all, you can be wise. Amen. Or you can allow the devil to make a fool out of you. But you're going to be the one that decides. And I'm going to be the one that decides in my life, you see. See, folks, let me just share this. I know I teach this a lot, but man, it needs to be taught. None of us is, listen, we're all born simple. And not only that, but the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So we're also born with a sin nature. So we got two strikes against us as soon as we start. If you're going to be wise, you're going to be wise on purpose. You're going to have to work at being wise. You're going to have to follow what the Bible says to do to be wise. You weren't born wise. You were born simple. And you were born with a tendency towards foolishness. You see. And so a person that's simple is a person that's never been taught. They just don't know. They don't know Bible principles. They don't know what the Word of God says. They just don't know. And that's why the devil's working so hard to keep people out of church today. God wants to keep the world simple when it comes to the things of God. But as you come to church, watch this, as you come to church and you learn the truths of God's Word, listen, sitting under wise preaching and wise teaching doesn't necessarily make you wise, but it will make you choose. Amen. Did you hear that? Because all of a sudden, as you're sitting under the preaching of God's Word, you can no longer claim to be simple. Well, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know. Wait a minute, I'm sitting in a, by the way, you're in a church where you're going to hear wisdom. You're going to, in a Bible preaching church where you're going to get fed the principles and precepts of God's Word, it's going to be put out there and put out there and put out there. And what you do with it is going to come into your hands. But listen, it's going to make you be make a choice. A simple person doesn't know right from wrong. They don't know the principles of God's Word. They don't know what God says. You sit under preaching. All of a sudden, you know what God says. Watch this. Now you have to make a choice. If you choose to obey and implement that wisdom into your life and make it a part of you, then you choose to become wise. That teaching has helped you become wise. But you know what? In the same congregation, under the same ministry, under the same pastor, someone else can sit there for years and hear the same truths, but as they hear these truths, they swell up and they get angry and they fold their arms and they decide, I'm not doing that and I'm not doing that and I don't believe that and I don't believe that. You're sitting under the same preaching as somebody else, only you choose to reject it, you choose to ignore it, you choose to lay it aside, you choose to turn your back on it, and you choose, the Bible says, the way of a fool. Because see, folks, foolishness, if we give a Bible definition of foolishness, foolishness is knowing what God wants and choosing not to do it. Knowing how to live and what God expects and choosing to do the opposite of that. And wisdom is sitting there and listening and learning and choosing and hearing God's principles and precepts and hearing Bible preaching and say, you know what, that's right. I look in my Bible, it's there. Praise the Lord. He's teaching me true. He's preaching right. That's what the scripture said. Hey, I'm going to change. I'm going to make that a part of my life. And you can become wiser under good preaching, or you can become more foolish under good preaching. But you won't stay simple under good preaching. It forces you to make a choice. Now, the devil's not going to make you do this, and God's not going to make you do that. You're going to decide what you're going to be in life.
Right.
You see. Now, is the devil making a fool out of you? Has he convinced you that the very things that would make you wise, has he convinced you that they're not important? Has he convinced you to neglect them? Has he convinced you to ignore them? Has he even turned you against the very things that would make you wise? I'm going to tell you, it can happen subtly. It can happen subtly. All of a sudden, we get pompous and proud, and we decide we're smarter than the Bible, and smarter than mom and dad, and smarter than the preacher, and smarter than everything we've learned. And all of a sudden, we're smarter. Well, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that. Well, big deal. Right and wrong's not decided by what you think. It's decided by what this Bible says. You see. And if Bible says something and you say, well, I don't believe that, you're wrong and God's right. Amen. You see. But it's going to make you choose. Now, I'm going to give you tonight three ways that the devil uses to make a fool out of Christians. Three ways the devil uses to make a fool out of Christians. How does the devil, Brother Jerry, keep me from becoming wise? I mean, we just read where God says that wisdom's a principal thing, and that's one of the key, if not the key, goal for God in our lives once we get saved, is to get wisdom. And he said it's the principal thing of all things. We're supposed to get it with all our getting, get understanding. I mean, he's turned us loose and said, listen, don't neglect wisdom. Three ways the devil makes a fool out of a Christian. Number one, Satan will try to rob from you your Bible reading and prayer time. Satan will try to rob from you the importance of reading the Bible and the importance of praying. You will not become wise if you neglect this book. You will not become wise if you neglect your prayer life. Now listen to me. I'm talking to Christians in this room. It's been saved for years and years and years. And you know what? You haven't cracked your Bible one time in the last 7 days. Let me tell you something. The devil's making a fool out of you. I said the devil's making a fool out of you. He somewhere along the line has convinced you that you can go day to day to day and not read and study the Bible and you're just fine. You're not just fine. You're not just fine. You are in so much danger you have no idea how much danger you're in. You see, Brother Jerry, what's so important? Why do preachers get up and say the same things over and over? Read your Bible, pray. Read your Bible, pray. Because when you read your Bible, you obtain wisdom. You get the wisdom of Almighty God. If you read it with an open heart and an inquisitive mind, and you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and show you things, you know what? Every time you read the Bible, you're going to be wiser in some way. You're going to be wiser than you were. And Satan knows that. And he's scared of this book. He knows the power of this book. He knows how it will transform a life. He knows how it will change your thinking. He knows how it will redirect your life. He don't want you to do right. So he'll do everything he can to keep you from this book right here. Do everything he can to keep you from this book right here. You see, Proverbs chapter 2. Let me have you flip over there. Proverbs chapter 2. Let me show you that reading and studying the Bible is the source of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 1. I love this portion of scripture. We ought to get this in our heart. Proverbs 2 verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. I can't get some folks to even receive the Bible. Receive the word of God. They won't even show up. They won't even come and listen. If they do, they've already made up their mind. They're not going to listen. If you aren't even open to what the Bible's going to do for you, you're going to stay a fool. You're going to stay simple in some areas. You're going to beat your head against the wall and never figure out what in the world's wrong. You see, and hide my commandments with thee. Hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understand. Does this remind you, or do you feel like this? God says it's going to take some effort on your part. We just open our Bible and casually, okay, what are we supposed to read? Okay, whatever. sit in a sermon, daydream half the time, sit in Sunday school class, like we had in some of the classes, by the way. Parents, you need to check on your kids. You ought to go see your Sunday school teacher. Are you listening? You ought to go see the Sunday school teacher that teaches your child. And teachers, be honest with them. And say, does my child set up? Do they have their Bible? Do they talk during? Do they sit in the back and whisper? Do you have to get on them? Is there a problem? And if there is, you need to go straighten that problem out. I walked by the Bible class the other day, and Brother Poet was teaching it. And Brother Poet's doing a good job for us. I was in the hallway doing something. I heard him about three times say, young people, listen. Let me have your attention. Stop talking. Listen. I walked over there in the hallway and stared into that classroom. They didn't see me for a minute. A bunch of them sitting in the back talking, in a Bible class, in a Christian school. You know what you are? You're a fool. Devil's making a fool out of you. You already know so much, you don't have to sit and listen to the Word of God being taught. By the way, Brother Poet, I'll tell you, if that happens, send them right back to the room. Just stop right what you're doing and say, you, go down to your classroom. And then the teacher will take care of it, and they'll get a hold of me, and we'll take care of it. Listen, we have tolerated foolishness long enough. Two or three little punks walking around here, know-it-alls. Know everything. They don't need, everything that's taught, they got to go back in a little group and give their opinion of why they don't think. I mean, after all, they're 16, they know everything. 14, heaven forbid, they already know it all. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's making a fool out of you. I said, the devil's making a fool out of you. I said, the devil's making a fool out of you. You see, you've got to receive the words of God. You've got to hide the commandments with you. You should incline your ear unto wisdom. Young people, you shouldn't be talking. You should be sitting on the edge of your seat. You should be absorbing every single thing that man says. And anytime somebody's standing in front of you with an open Bible and teaching the Bible, man, you ought to be soaking it up like a sponge. But you know what? The devil's come along and told you that Bible preaching is not important, and Sunday school class isn't important, and Bible class isn't important, and your daily devotions isn't important. Your prayer time's not important, and that's why you're walking around acting like a fool. The devil's made a fool out of you. See, he's separated you from this book. He somehow convinced you that this book is your enemy. That book's not important. That book is important. That book is life. That book will protect you and save you and keep you from the devil. And he knows it. And that's why he fights, so that you'll have a wrong attitude towards the things I'm talking about right now. You see, search the scriptures. Incline thine ear into wisdom. Apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, watch this, verse 3. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for hid treasures, then, if all these things happen, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. You see, what he wants to see from us is a hunger. He wants to see effort. He wants to see us study. He wants to see us listen. He wants to see us have our hearts open and our ears inclined, wanting to learn something from God. And then as a reward, he'll give you wisdom. If you sit there and just treat this whole thing like it's one big joke and one big bother, let me tell you something. He's not going to impart to you 1 ounce of wisdom, and you'll live like a fool and exist like a fool and make the mistakes that fools make and be led astray so easily. You know why? Because somehow the devil has convinced you that that book's not important. That book's not important, you see. Did you see what it said in verse number 4, if thou seekest her silver? Verse number 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice. I was reminded of James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Say, Brother Jerry, who are the wise young people in our church? Let me tell you, I can tell you who the wise young people in our church are. The ones that get up every morning, get on their knees and cry out to God and say, you know what, Lord, I lack wisdom. I don't have the wisdom of God that I need. And God, if I'm going to do something for you, if I'm going to make it in life, if I'm going to live right, if I'm not going to shame your name, please give give me wisdom. God, I admit that I lack it. I need your wisdom. Please give me your wisdom. Then they grab this Bible and they open it up. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. They seek as for hid silver and hid treasure. They seek as it's a silver. And I'm going to tell you something. They go after it and go after it and search and take notes and study it. And their hearts are warmed and touched by it. That's the wise young people. That's the ones that act different. That's the ones that think different. That's the way the ones that look at life differently. Kid that gets up, goes in and spends 30, 40 minutes, hour and a half primping and poking and making sure every hair's in place, applies 17 layers or whatever they put on their face. Stand in the mirror and look this way and look this way and look this way and look this way and all that stuff. Walk out of that house and never touch the Bible. Walk on that house and never get on their knees and cry out to God. Let me tell you something. The devil's made a fool out of you. You're more concerned about what some boy's going to think of you when you walk into school than what God thinks of you. You know what that's called? That's called being a heathen. That's called being pagan. That's what they do at the public school. All that's important to them is how many people's eyes they can catch. What smart thing can come out of their mouth. Man, Keith Gomez up there in Elgin, Illinois or somewhere. He's got Providence Baptist College, got a Christian school. I had a preacher tell me that 3 weeks ago, Brother Gomez went into chapel, walked up, called the 35 names of 35 students and had them all stand and said, every single one of you are too carnal to be in this place. Hit the road. Some of you parents about to have a heart attack. He'll have a better school. No, he'll have a better school. Oh, well, people will leave. Well, you know what? Good night. They're being fools anyway. How many of the kids that are trying to be wise are they dragging down with them? Brother Jerry, aren't you patient with young people? I'm patient with young people. But folks, good night. There comes a point in time where youth just becomes an excuse. You were born, carried into this church, planted in that nursery before you could even talk. Go up through the Sunday school classes around here, have godly parents that have tried to teach you right. Sunday school teachers that have prayed and cried over you. Youth pastors that have prayed and cried over you. Preachers that have called your name out to God. Staff members that have showed up hours before you ever showed up and got your lazy carcass out of bed and went around that school like we've done 100 times and got to every desk and sat and made an altar out of every chair and prayed that God would use you, and you have the audacity to walk around here with your proud, arrogant, sinful, carnal ways. You're without excuse. Why don't you learn to love this book? Why don't you learn to find the God that we've been talking about for all these years? He's not a myth. He's not a fairy tale. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to change your life. Stop letting the devil make a fool out of you. Too many people in this church give too many hours for you to walk by every day and spit on it. Too many tears have been cried. Too many sleepless nights. Too many parents have stayed up half the night praying beside your bed while you slept there that God would somehow wake you up spiritually for you to just throw all this stuff away. What in the world's wrong with you? There's a world dying and going to hell. We need Christian soldiers. Now stop letting the devil make a fool of you. Why don't you decide that for the first time, some of you honestly, for the first time in your life, when you get home, you walk in your room and you open a Bible and you look at it and say, God, all these years, the wisdom of Almighty God's been contained within these pages. And I've just treated this book as if it was nothing. And God, forgive me. What a wicked, sinful thing to do. You preserve the very words of God here. All of your wisdom that you need, that I need, is here. God, starting tonight, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to read this book and I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to let you change me. Amen. Amen. You see, Satan knows this book and knows what it will do, so he will try to rob you from your Bible reading and prayer time. Number two, three ways the devil makes a fool out of a Christian. He'll try to rob them from their Bible reading and prayer time. Try to have them neglected or ignored or even despise it. Number two, Satan will try to get you to despise wise men and choose as your companions scorners and fools. Satan will try to get you to despise wise men and wise women and choose as your companions scorners and fools. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Let's go there. Proverbs 13, verse number 20. Jerry, how in the world can Satan make such a fool out of a Christian, a born-again Christian? How can he make such a fool out of him? Somehow along the path, somewhere in the course of their Christian life, he's convinced them that their friends are their enemies and their enemies are their friends. Did you just hear me? Satan will try to get you to despise wise men and women who love you and will give you godly counsel, and instead will cause you to choose as your companions scorners and fools. Now, how do you become wise, Brother Jerry? You said, excuse me, you said that God wants us to be wise. You said that God teaches us in his word how to be wise. Well, let's look at one of those ways. Proverbs 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That verse isn't going to go away. And that those two shall be's aren't going to change. Doesn't say might be, maybe be, should be, perhaps. It says shall be. Shall be. How do I obtain wisdom, Brother Jerry? By walking with wise men, by walking with wise women, by choosing wise peers, by hanging with the godly crowd and the spiritual crowd and the crowd that cares and has a good attitude. That's how you become wise. How does Satan make a fool out of young people? He gets them hooked up with a bunch of fools. He gets them hanging around a bunch of foolish young people. He gets them listening, becoming more concerned about what their peers think than what their parents think. God says this: you shall be destroyed. You hang around fools and you'll become foolish and you will be destroyed. You shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33 still says this: be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that means? That means your parents can raise you with good habits and good tendencies and teach you right. You hang around the wrong crowd, they'll mess everything up they've taught you. They'll mess it all up. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. We're going to stay in the Bible. Satan will try to get you to despise the very people that ought to be your heroes, to despise the very people you ought to be listening to, and choose as your companions scorners and fools. Scorners are people that mock and laugh and make light of everything that's spiritual and right. Fools are people that absolutely know what's right, but they disobey. And you know what? They want you to disobey it with them. You know that? Yeah, I know that. Look at verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's what you're supposed to be listening to. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, who else is trying to try to get your attention? Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what that means? That means say no. Hey, come hang with us. No. Hey, come over here and talk and gossip with us. No. Hey, come over here and let's pull this little shenanigan. No! Amen. It's called having a backbone. It's called being a Christian. It's called valuing what your parents have taught you over what some little knucklehead's trying to get you to do. You see. By the way, it tells you what they're going to say here. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. It tells you what they're going to say. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for the blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. By the way, these birds always are looking for some kid that's a pretty decent kid and seeing if they can mess them up. They look around the church and they try to find some kid that's on track, some kid that's got a heart for God, some kid that's got a good attitude, and they walk over there with their little snake. I mean, they slither over there like a snake and start interjecting these little critical things. Critical things. They'll say things like, you know, oh, yeah, you know what? Boy, I tell you what, you're always good. You always do the right thing. How is that? You always do the right thing? I mean, don't you ever want to do the wrong thing? They like destroying the innocent, you see. They say, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as thou that go down to the pit, into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Their way is always a better way, and their way is always going to make them prosperous one of these days. And they're always going to talk about what they're going to become. But you know what? Fools all have the same ending. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but then thereof is the ways of death. Then it says this, watch this, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You know what they want? They want a group. You see, they're not really against authority. They're against them not being the authority. I say this, but they do say it if you'll listen. I mean, let's talk about people that are doing right. Let's run down people that are doing right. Let's sit over here and criticize. Let's laugh and mock behind the scene. And then when somebody in authority shows up, we'll put a sweet little smile on our face and act all spiritual. Then when they walk away, we'll laugh because we're fooling them so bad. And that's how the devil will make a fool out of you. God says, my son, walk not thou in thy way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. That's all right. You ought to read this chapter on down. There's going to be a come a time where they pay the price. There's going to be a come a time when they run into problems and when they face the reward of their wicked deeds. And God says that day they'll cry out to me and I'll laugh at them. Wow. And that's what he says. I'll laugh at them. You see. They'll try to get you to despise wise men and choose as your companions scorners. Listen, stop hanging around the critics. I'm talking about adults now. If there's somebody criticizing constantly around here, the ministries and the direction of this church and what's being taught from this pulpit, let me tell you something. You need to shut them down. You need to get away from them. You need to stand up to them. You need to say, shut your mouth!
Yes, sir.
Amen. Shut your mouth. Amen. What in the world's wrong with you? People are getting saved. The Bible's being preached. God's being exalted. Holy living is the standard. What's wrong with you? Get on board. Or get away from me. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. You know, how come those birds don't come to everybody? How come they don't come to me? How come they don't come to my wife? How come they don't come to certain families in this church? Let me ask you even a more pertinent question. How come they come to you?
Yeah. Come on.
Wow. How come they dial your phone? How come your phone number, ladies, your phone number is on the speed dial? How come they spend time this week on the phone telling you all the things they don't like about what's going on?
Yeah. Come on.
You know why? Because you're giving an ear to it.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, without the wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no tailbearer, the strife ceases. Somebody needs to take their wood away from them. Now, wise people do that. Wise people, is the devil making a fool out of you? Is another fool making a fool out of you? That is good. There comes a time, folks, where we've got to take some responsibility for where we are in this matter of wisdom. God says wisdom is a principal thing. God says get wisdom. Get wisdom. Grow up. Get it. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Get in the book of Proverbs. Read it. Learn to recognize these people for what they are. Learn to do what the Bible says. I mean, the Bible says rebuke a scorner and smite a scorner. Hey, listen, don't put up with their nonsense. Don't give them a safe haven. You know what they'll do? They'll have to get right or get going. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Take inventory of your friends. Who are you attracted to and why? Are you walking with wise friends or foolish companions? Brother Jerry, how do I know? I think you know. But if you don't, there's a book I could recommend. It's called The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. It says this, identifying the foolish by how he acts. Think about your friends as I'm reading this. And by the way, think about yourself. A foolish person ignores reproof. He refuses to be corrected and hates the one who tries to help him. How do you act when your parents rebuke you and reprove you? How are you acting right now while you're being reproved from the pulpit? The Bible said, Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Proverbs 19:25, reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. You know, you reprove a wise person and they're thankful for it. They're glad for it. They want it. They want to be better. I've had young people. I've had them come to my office. I remember Paul Chapman when he was here in senior year of high school, came 1 year to our Christian school. And man, I'm going to tell you something. He drove us crazy, Sister Rita. I know he almost drove y'all crazy. He pulled some shenanigans. He did so many things. But he's a good boy and he had a heart for God. Man, I'd pull him in my office and I'd chew on him. One day he knocked on the door and I didn't even call him up there, which was unusual. By the way, he only came to our Christian school 1 year. He said, Brother Jerry, I need to talk to you. And he said, man, you've really lit into me lately. And I said, Paul, listen to me, buddy. I love you. I said, I don't have 12 years to bring you along. I got 1 year. And I said, so I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to tell you straight on, straight out. I want you to listen to me. And he said this. He said, Brother Jerry, that's why I came in here. That's why I came in here. So I'm going to tell you something. If you ever see anything in my life, or see me or hear me say anything or do anything that's against the Bible or it's wrong, you don't hesitate to grab me and pull me in and talk to me. And I promise you, I'll listen to you, Brother Jerry, because I want to serve God. I want to do right. Now, maybe that's why he's pastoring in Rhode Island tonight. Maybe he's one. Maybe that's why he's one of our graduates that we're proud of. He figured something out. The person that's trying to point you to this book is not the enemy. The person who's giving you biblical rebuke is not the enemy. Okay, the person that pats you on the back, that you go running to after you have been biblically rebuked, they're not your friend. They're not your friend. A foolish person ignores reproof. A foolish person despises instruction. A fool despises his father's instruction. Did you hear that, young people? Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction. Has the devil made a fool out of you? Some of you, your daddies are getting in arguments with you. Your daddies are trying to tell you something, but you won't listen. Every time they start telling you something you don't want to hear, you roll your eyes and stick out your lower lip and just sit there and endure it and go and tell your friends how you were lectured again. Let me tell you something. You know what? I just heard a fool speak. That young man, that young lady's a fool. That's what the Bible says. A fool despises his father's instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Number three, a foolish person perceives himself as always right. He knows more than his parents, his teachers, his pastors, even God. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I mean, you know what? I could stand on my head tonight, juggle with my feet, and preach this, and some of you are going to walk out of here still believing that you're right and everybody else is wrong. You know why? Because the devil's made a fool out of you. The devil's made a fool out of you. You're not smarter than your parents. You're not smarter than this preacher. You're not smarter than this book. And you're sure not smarter than your God. And you need to get rid of that pompous, arrogant attitude and become humble and have a teaching spirit so that God can start molding you into something he can actually use one of these days. If not, then go ahead. Head down the road, fool. You'll end up where fools end up, with a messed up life. Foolish person sees mischief as sport. Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Walking around acting like adolescents, acting like teenagers, acting like 3 years old. 3 years old. Playing little pranks and doing little stupid things. Immaturity. Good night. Grow up. Oh, it's fun. Look what I did. Oh, went in the bathroom and I stuck the toilet plunger on the wall. You don't have brain cell one. I'm serious. You ought to take that toilet plunger and stick it on top of your head. That's where it belongs. I got to be careful what I say right now, but all kinds of things are going through my mind. That's a good place for it, by the way. Something's clogged up with something in here. Going to a Christian school to bath. I know you say, oh, these are little things. This is a fool for, the Bible says it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. Going to a Christian school, wad up pieces of toilet paper, get them all wet, slap them against the ceiling. No, we get to the point where we got, you know, and this was happening last year. It's not happening right now. My brother Roger, what in the world am I going to do about this? I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to tell you something. I catch that knucklehead, he's history. Now, Brother Jerry, it's just a, don't you have a sense? You know what the problem is? That's their problem. Do I need to read this again? It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. You raise up children to respect property. You raise up children to respect the house of God. It's not funny. It's not funny to deface God's property. It's not funny to sit in a classroom and act like a knucklehead. It's not funny to get up and score when the teacher's not looking. See how many times you can walk around the scoring table acting like an idiot? Hello? You're acting like a fool. The devil's making a fool out of you. You know what's right. Do right.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Do right.
Right.
Good night. Foolish people make a mockery of sin. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. You know, everything that's bad is funny to them. Everything that's bad, that's funny. Somebody says something that's a little off-colored and they think it's funny. Wise person don't think it's funny.
Right.
Wise person stares them down. Wise person says, you know what, that's enough of that. But a fool, they think it's funny, you see. Quick-tempered, a foolish person is quick-tempered. Fool's wrath is presently known. How much of your time around here do you spend mad? A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. It is a shame, by the way. Oh, so-and-so is mad, brother dear. Well, what else is new? They're foolish. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Proverbs 14:17. A stone is heavy and sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Proverbs 27:3. They're always mad about something. Just always mad about something. They're just going to be mad about something. By the way, I don't empower that behavior. I do not empower that behavior. You know how you empower that behavior, husbands? Your mad wife comes home mad all the time about something going on in the church. You empower it by patting her on the back and listening to it and getting in a huff yourself. You know what you need to do? You need to say, woman, grow up. You know how you empower that behavior in your children? They come home and they're mad every other day at school because something went wrong. They don't think it's fair. And you walk around in a huff and go, oh, You're raising a fool. You're raising a fool. And you're acting like one yourself. The devil's making a fool out of you. You're not going to tell me that there's that many bad things around here. I'm here all the time. Good night. There's for every one thing that your kid goes home and tells you that went bad, they could tell you 50 things that went right if they were raised to do that. Foolish person's quick temper. Always mad about something. Foolish person meddles in the affairs of others. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool would be meddling, busybody, gossip, meddling. Did you hear what this said? You hear what that said? You know what here was doing? You hear what that said? Did you hear about what this happened? That's how a fool acts. Good night. I wish I had time for that stuff. How in the world do you have time for that stuff? I mean, honestly, how in the world do you have time to spend an hour on the phone meddling, being a busybody? You know what you're probably, you need to get a life. Come to my office. I got work I can't even get caught up on. I'll let you do some of it. I mean, you don't have time to go to a nursing home and sit and encourage people for an hour, but you can go to a coffee shop and sit over there and criticize for an hour. You know what? You're letting the devil. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. I'm telling you, the devil's making a fool out of me. I'm not going to let the devil make a fool out of me, Brother Johnny. I know I've slipped up, and I know from time to time he's going to win something now and again, but I'm not going to live my life as a fool. Too many important things to be done, right? Caught up in all that nonsense.
Yes, sir.
Honestly, there's too much important things going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be caught up in a bunch of this nonsense.
Yes, right.
Sitting around sucking our thumbs and wanting our pasties and needing our diaper change. Man, I'll tell you what, there's a whole world that's lost out there. Let's grow up spiritually. Let's get some wisdom about it. Let's get up every morning and read the book of Proverbs and learn how to be wise and learn how to think wisely and act wisely and talk wisely. Listen, the Satan will try to get you to despise wise men and choose as your companions scorners and fools. The young person and adults, you better watch who you spend time with. Are you talking about me? Let me tell you something. If I've just described you by what I read, God's talking about you. He's knocking on your door. You don't have to be that way. You choose to be that way. You weren't born that way. You didn't make it. Oh, it's my personality. No, it's sin. And you get into the Bible and start studying the Bible and decide that you're going to change and you're going to let the Holy Spirit transform your life. You can be a different person. You know, stop it. Why do you want the devil to win? You don't just get to the end of your life and find out that most everything you did was inspired more by Satan than God. You weren't a blessing to your church, where you were a thorn in the flesh of that church. You hindered the growth of that church. You hurt the spirit of that church. Come on now. Do I want to stand before God like that? I don't. I guess you're going to have to decide. Let me finish up. Satan will try to get you to live for the temporal instead of the eternal. This is another way he makes fools out of us. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. I love this verse. I don't think I've ever heard a message preached on this verse. I'm not even sure I've ever heard it read publicly from the pulpit, but it's an incredible verse. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24. Satan will try to get you to live for the temporal instead of the eternal. You know, folks, if you've got a worldly vision of things, you are not going to get excited about the spiritual things that are happening. You got to be careful what you get your focus on. Now, let me help you, church. You got to be careful. We're all susceptible to this. I love this verse. You ought to underline this verse. Proverbs 15, verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise. Did you get that? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. What's that tell you, Brother Jerry? A wise person lives, his way of life is all directed to that which is above. He doesn't live for the temporal, he lives for the eternal. Let's go to Luke chapter number 12, do a little Bible drill here, read a couple more portions of scripture and we'll wrap it up. Luke chapter number 12. Folks, stop straining in a gnat and swallowing a camel. Stop making a big deal out of nothing and nothing out of a big deal. Are you listening to me? I said, stop straining in a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's what the Pharisees did. Stop making a big deal out of nothing and nothing out of a big deal. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Satan will try to get you to live for the temporal instead of the eternal. Luke chapter 12, let me get on the right page here, verse number 16. Spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself. And that's what mostly we do. He didn't get on his knees and pray about it. He didn't ask God what he wanted to do with this. He thought within himself, what can I do with this? And he said, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I, my. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, watch this. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Listen, you get all consumed with living for what's here on this earth and seeing what you can have here on this earth, and you're not generous to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God blesses you with something extra, you don't say, boy, I'm going to get on my knees and find out why God gave that to me and where he wants it to go. No, I, my. You see, Satan will try to get you to live for the temporal instead of the eternal, and then God looks down and says, you're a fool. Matthew chapter number 13. Let's get a Bible basis. These aren't Pastor Jerry's ideas or reasons or suggestions, folks. This is what Satan does, and he's doing it, and it's working, and it shouldn't. Every once in a while, preacher ought to just come over, pull the curtain aside, and show you who's behind the curtain pulling all the levers in your life. Say, do you want this guy in charge? Why don't you put God in charge, amen? Matthew chapter number 13, verse 18. He's just given Jesus as the parable of the sower. And we don't have time to reteach all of it. But boy, let me get down to just one of the types of soil. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, no character. But dureth for a while when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Watch verse 22 though. This is why materialism is so wicked. This is why living for this materialistic world is so damaging to your Christian life. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. But the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what do? They choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. Let me tell you this. The devil can get you to start living for the temporal and forget the eternal. All the preaching in the world is not going to bear fruit in your life because you have those thorns and thistles of materialism. So you need to rip them up by the roots. You need to say, I'm going to stop letting the devil make a fool out of me. There's something more important than how fancy a car I drive or how big a house I live in or how many things I have. There's God's work. I'm going to live for God. Listen, that's going to be the focus of my life. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll finish here. Folks, I hope this has helped you because this is God's word. This is God's plan. Good night. I'm sick and tired of watching the devil walking around getting the victory. Young people with the greatest potential in this room could throw it all away if you don't listen to what your preacher's telling you. I'm telling you, if you don't listen to what your preacher's telling you, you can have the most potential. You can have had everything invested in you. You can be right at the precipice of doing great things for God. But if you're not careful, the devil could make a fool out of you. You see? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For there a foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And what God's saying there is, good night, I gave you a part of me. One third of the triune God lives inside of you. I put him there to equip you to do eternal things and to live your life for eternal things. You've got a foundation if you're a Christian, that's Jesus Christ. Now what are you going to build on top of that? Because everything that you do in this life, folks, will fall under the blazing eyes of Jesus Christ. And all that materialism, all that stuff that was for this world, all the temporal things that we put so much stock into, it's going to burn up in that day. And whatever's left is where what your rewards are going to be based on. And let me tell you something, the devil's making a fool out of a lot of Christians because all of their time is consumed on what they can get in this world and not what they're going to have left at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. How do you obtain wisdom? How do you keep from being judged a fool at the judgment seat of Christ? You live for eternal things. You invest in God's work. You spend your life seeking to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Do God's work. Do God's work. Do God's work. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. There's no reason in the world that you ought to let Satan make a fool out of you. He doesn't have the power to do it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have to give him permission to do it. Now there's young people in this room that tonight's message ought to be a wake-up call. You ought to lay aside that wicked, sinful pride that's kept you from an altar for so many services and so many years of your Christian life, kept you away from the Bible and finding out all that God wants to teach you. You need to lay aside that haughtiness, lay aside that I-know-it-all attitude, lay aside that sinfulness, lay aside that carnality, come to an old-fashioned altar, cry out to God and say, God, I want to be wise. I want to be more than a fool. I don't want to live my life as a fool on this earth. I want to make an impact for Jesus Christ. I want this thing to be real. God, I want you to teach me wisdom. From this day forward, I'm heading a different direction. I've got different goals. God, I want to see different things happen. It's just not young people. Folks, if we're not careful in little areas of our life, all of a sudden, before we know it, the devil's starting to make a fool out of us. And there he is laughing and cackling. Why? Because he got another Christian off track. He's keeping another Christian from being all they could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's kept another worker out of a ministry. He's kept somebody, headed somebody down a wrong path, and the devil rejoices over that. But let me tell you something. You know what? It's not the devil's fault. They made a choice. Did you hear me? They made a choice. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize we got an enemy. Boy, he's smart and he's deceitful and he's wicked. He'll tell us a bunch of lies and do everything he can to try to get us heading in the wrong direction. I pray, Lord, that spotlight's been placed fully on him tonight and he's been exposed for what he is. And Lord, we could have covered a lot of other things, but I pray, God, that we'd examine this. Help us to fall in love again with your word. Help us to get hungry for the Bible. Help us to rediscover our prayer closet. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to look around and understand that there's some people that'll drag you down and some people that'll pick you up. And we need to pick our companions carefully and our friends carefully. Help us to examine our own heart because it's easy to point at other people. But maybe there's foolish tendencies that have crept within our own heart. We just need to confess them and get things right, God. Lord, there's so many eternal things that are of such value that needs to be accomplished. Man, oh man, oh man. So many things that need to be done. How can we waste our life having it consumed with a bunch of tomfoolery? So many important things. You want so many things to happen. There's so many people that need to be reached. Help us to hit some reset buttons tonight.